This is Coffee at KYUK, conversation between friends and neighbors. Come in and have a cup.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee. I'm Samantha Watson here in the studio at KYUK with Dave Struble and Mike Ottenweller, both from the National Weather Service and part of the River Watch team, serving the breakup on the Yukon right now. Good morning, Dave and Mike.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Sam and everybody.
Yeah, thanks so much for being on. And I figure maybe a good place to start is, could, you know, the big question of, you know, what did you see yesterday and what did things look like out there, Dave?
Yeah, the River Watch team launched about 11 a.m. yesterday, and we flew direct up to Russian Mission, and the ice jam that had formed on Sunday, 10 miles downriver from Russian Mission, had released, and water levels were up a little bit at Russian yesterday morning. We flew up to Holy Cross, and there was a secondary ice jam still in place, just adjacent to town on the Anoko, kind of the mouth of the Anoko, and about 6 miles downriver from that was still packed in ice. That ice was continuing to hold up the majority of the water. Water levels, I think, reached their peak early yesterday morning at Holy Cross. We flew then downriver, so they were still experiencing significant flooding. The runway was completely underwater yesterday at Holy Cross. There's been all kinds of activity there in the last 24 hours with even a helo went up there yesterday evening, we were told. But for us then, we flew then downriver trying to figure out where the breakup front was. And it had progressed down past Marshall, about 8 miles downriver from Marshall. It had stalled on some big ice sheets. Water levels were coming up in Marshall. Then we flew to Pilot Station. Things are starting to shift around there. And then back up in the afternoon to look at that small jam at Holy Cross. In the time, 4 or 5 hour period of time, that jam decayed significantly, and water levels had dropped a little bit at Holy Cross. We then flew back to Bethel. However, we did get reports yesterday evening that the jam released up there by Holy Cross, and water levels were dropping quickly this morning and overnight.
Great. And that was last night, you said?
Yeah. Yep. It, when we were looking at it, it started off as about 6 miles of just chunked up ice, just all jammed in there in the morning. And then by the time we saw it in about 5 o'clock in the evening, it had eroded down to about just 1 mile of ice, and more water was getting around it. So I think it definitely failed overnight based on the reports that water levels were dropping. In fact, we even had a report that 5 feet vertical drop at Holy Cross this morning from the peak.
Wow. And again, yeah, I know you covered a good bit about Holy Cross. I know it's kind of a community that a lot of people are wondering about. And is there anything else, any other updates from them? Is their runway still covered as we know? And I know that, this is the latest as of your flight yesterday.
Yeah, so we had an observer out there report overnight, like Dave said, about 5 feet lost water down from yesterday. That's 5 vertical feet, which is good news. Don't have any information about the runway itself as of this morning, but we can make some assumptions that it's likely drying out, of course, with that water drop. Sounds like most of the water drop was yesterday afternoon, and then the rate of drop slowed down to about 1 foot last night. So it was 4 feet during the day yesterday, another foot overnight. So a little bit of slowing down in the rate of drop, but that's what we would expect as that higher surge of water moves on. And then they mentioned that they still have water in the low end of the village, still flooding in those portions, which, you know, again, we would expect it would take a while to clear out the low-lying spots. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And when that ice jam goes out, like, you know, the one that you mentioned that went out last night, what does that mean for downriver communities or what are, yeah?
There's just a lot of water that's going to make its way down into the stretch of river from Marshall, Pilot, St. Mary's, and Mountain Village here today, probably, or will be occurring today. I think, the high probability of some flooding, I think the degree of flooding is still uncertain. We are hoping we have some weather issues right now, but we're hoping to go fly down there just to take a look as soon as we can today. We have flood watches now out for Marshall, Pilot Station, St. Mary's, and Mountain Village. And after talking with some of the folks, an elder at Pilot Station, the ice was really thick, 4 feet thick, the cold spring. It just hasn't been that much time for the ice to decay here on the lower Yukon. So, the probably the most likely scenario is more flooding and a slow breakup.
Mm-hmm. And just to remind folks what a flood watch means, like versus a flood warning advisory, could you talk a little bit about that and what, how folks should maybe prepare at this stage?
Yeah. One analogy that we've been using back at the office when we've made a few of our breakup videos back at the home office in Anchorage is in regards to tacos, because everyone can relate to tacos. Mm-hmm. So if you have all the ingredients in place to make a taco, that's what a watch would be. Everything is there. There is potential, but nothing has necessarily come perfectly into alignment yet. And then if we switch that to a flood warning, which is what we have further upstream, Russian Mission, and that was what was in place for Grayling and Anvik until this morning, that's when we have the ingredients are now been made into the actual taco. So just a simple analogy, but the warning would be all the things have come together and now we are concerned that there could be potential impact to life and property. The watch is the precursor to that, saying that we're watching this area, keep your eyes out, take action now. And then we upgrade to a warning. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And when you're in that stage, that's, how Weather Service is thinking about things for folks on the ground. Is that just kind of, also like at this stage, be aware, and this is kind of what we're looking at, versus farther up is more like, prepare to take action, things like that.
Yeah, and that's, like Dave was mentioning, we extended that watch based on overnight reports. We extended that watch to include Mountain Village, and I'm pretty sure they're also going to include Amonok and Alaknuk as well, because really at this point, all the conditions are starting to set up in a way that we do have concerns. So for those communities, this is the time to really start to pay attention, to make sure your communication plan is in place, bring things away from the water's edge, really starting, like Dave mentioned, basically Mountain Village, St. Mary's, and all the way down to the mouth of the river. We don't really see anywhere for all the ice and all the water to go in a clean, easy fashion. The thermal breakup portion has not played out for this portion of the river. So we are definitely in dynamic breakup mode, which is where we would have concerns for potential for flooding. So yeah, now is the time for folks to just be really paying attention.
And we've seen it like at Russian Mission, people had moved boats up and other things. And so, based on what your community kind of flood plan is, what elders, this could be a pretty significant year. The water level at Holy Cross was almost 3 inches below the flood of record, which I think was either in 91 or 89. So some of these water levels, or the water level they experienced, had not, it's been almost 50 years. And so the knowledge base is, elders would have gone through some of these floods. So I think the potential for flooding downriver is similar if you get the proper setup. Some of these floods that are pretty rare and pretty extreme are possible mm-hmm. in the next few days.
A lot of these communities we oftentimes think of as less flood prone because they are maybe built a little higher or just the way the river meanders around them. But what we've seen so far in this 2026 season is that some of these communities that would be less flood prone, like Dave's talking, 20, 30, 40 years since the last time they had significant flooding, they have shown that tendency and they have proven to be, floodable, if you want to use that word. So that's where we have those concerns going downriver as well. Even communities that maybe haven't experienced flooding for 30 years, maybe in a generation, mm-hmm. That it could be on that level.
Yeah. And for folks wondering, as you mentioned, this is kind of it seems like almost out of the ordinary or outside of like lived experience for many people living in this community to see the water come up this high. What has made this year and for those communities like more like floodable, as you said? Is it, you know, a combination of just, I know we're expecting this kind of throughout communities on the Kuskokwim and Yukon with the cold winter, but or just, yeah.
Yeah. I think things do have to come together, and unfortunately it's a little bit of bad luck when an ice jam forms just in a particular location and you get an extreme flood event. So there is some of that, but the actual, you know, precursors were the cold winter. We've had more people talk about some of the thicker ice that, you know, the thickest ice they've seen in the last 20, 30 years. Also the cold spring. We really haven't had a lot of sun and anything really for a longer, you know, more than a day or two of above normal temperatures to begin to degrade this river ice. There's also it was warmer in the headwaters of the Yukon, and so there's quite a bit of melt coming down, and in the middle Yukon there's a big surge of water that's worked its way down into the lower river here currently. So it's kind of the ingredients of the thick ice, the cold spring, and now the big surge of water coming from upriver that is really creating the scenario that we have for increased flooding and severity of flooding.
I was just going to mention that Dave mentioned the upper portions of the Yukon and even over into the Dawson and Porcupine headwaters. There has been signs of significant flooding all the way along the Yukon this season. But what was really interesting is we looked at the hydrograph, which is just basically what the water levels are doing in Eagle. Even up there, there was high water, but it was displaced by about 12 to 24 hours from when the in-place ice from the winter moved. So that ice cleared out just in time before the high water from the snowmelt and some upstream jamming near Dawson came down that way. What we think has happened over the last week to 10 days now is that high water eventually did catch up to the intact ice. We first saw that kind of near Galena, then Koyukuk, and now as we've turned the corner and come down to Holy Cross and subsequent communities, we think that high water eventually, that, you know, and we knew it was there, it was just a matter of time, especially with the snowmelt, but it did catch up to where the intact and in place ice is. And so now we're bumping up heavy amount of water, high amount of water, and strong intact ice that is degrading, thankfully, but it is taking its time because it is 4 feet thick. And so once those two forces combine, that's where now we're, so again, kind of fingerprints were there. The little rabbit breadcrumb trail was there all the way up in Eagle, but didn't necessarily see it play out on the upper Yukon. And now we are seeing some of those ingredients come together for the lower Yukon.
Yeah. And when you're thinking about, like, you know, just break up for the rest of the river down the coast. How are you kind of at this point, like, forecasting that or looking about, you know, how, you know, it seems like it is so ice jam by ice jam, kind of like the puzzle of breakup. But when you're thinking about the rest of this breakup for communities closer, yeah, are you able to kind of have thoughts or predictions at this time?
Yeah, you know, we have some general travel times. We have a lot of historic, years that we look at in terms of the ice went out at, you know, Pilot Station. How long does it take before we start seeing ice moving at Emonic and Alucknuck? So we have some of those tools. But we really do just rely a lot on observations from our River Watch flights. Talking to people from, you know, we do like to land and take somebody up, an elder or somebody that has familiarity in their local area just to get some eyes on the ice and get their thoughts. But, you know, over the next few days, we'll be, you know, making these flights, updating our products in terms of, you know, in those flood products, they'll describe, you know, what our thoughts are on timing. You know, right now, Emonic and Alucknuck are pretty flood prone. I think we're still a couple days. You know, we'll know more today after we fly, but, you know, we're at least, I think, a couple days before the breakup front gets into that area based on, you know, past years. but we'll definitely keep flying and making assessments here over at least through the weekend.
I was just going to add, on a day like today, where I'm sure folks can look out their window and see how low the clouds are, we will of course have to wait for our weather window to open up before our plane can get up. So it just really emphasizes the need for local observations from folks, whether they report it on Facebook or they report it to our office, aprfc@noaa.gov. However they can get that information to us is especially vital on a day where we might not be able to fly as much as we'd like to and see as much as we'd like to. But of course, you know, using the composite of all the observations is really how we paint the picture as best as we can.
Absolutely. I know we do have just a few more minutes left here. I just wanted to mention before we close out that yesterday the governor did extend disaster declaration for access to public assistance and individual assistance for some of these newer communities that are affected. That information I will post on our website after this, but you can file for individual assistance and public assistance if you've been affected in Holy Cross and Russian Mission, some of these communities. So that's just something for folks to be aware of as things continue to shake out. Is there anything else in our last 2 minutes? Any final thoughts or anything else folks should be aware of, especially as we go into the weekend here? And yeah.
Yeah, just to emphasize your point there, Sam, the state's priority is to get into Holy Cross as soon as possible and to check out that community and see how folks are doing. So that's what our state counterpart, Laura, who was with you all the last couple of days, that's what she's focused on right now. Today's Dave's last day, likely, unless things change, likely flying the river for Riverwatch this season. So I'll be taking over and we'll see it all the way out to the coast as the plan this year, as long as we have the flight hours and everything else. So we plan on keeping communities really from where it is now up there in Holy Cross all the way out to the mouth of the Bering. I guess the other thing that we'll mention too is we have a fantastic sea ice program that the National Weather Service has. And they provide us a really high resolution detailed imagery of what that shore ice looks like from the Bering Sea right up against the coastline there for the north mouth and the south mouth. And that is vital as we get closer and closer to those communities of Amonok and Alaknuk and Namaqua, that we see exactly what that shore fast ice looks like and if it's given enough space for it to be able to get all the way through that area and out into the Bering Sea. Because, of course, that's when we can finally declare all of things broken up.
Well, Dave and Mike, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And yeah, hoping you get out today. To reiterate, just those community observations, super important. And do you want to say the email again? That's also helpful. Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's aprfc@noaa.gov. And that'll be an email that goes to the River Forecast Center. And we're in constant communication with them to be able to make sure we get those products updated.
Wonderful. All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on, you two.
Thank you.
This is Coffee at KYUK.